This is Stefan Yah. Shalom.
We're on YahvahYahweh.name. And let's look through the book of Romans about discernment. How to discern what is right and wrong in our life. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living offering, separated, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of Yahweh. That's in Romans 12, Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the word, that the word that was just spoken in Isaiah 8, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So, a discernment ministry is a ministry that defines right and wrong. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the Torah and to the testimony, or to the law and the testimony, King James, if they speak not according to this word, in other words, the words previous to this, it is because there is no light in them. So what is a discernment ministry? The scriptures define what it is. What is a discernment or a warning ministry, or what should it be? We see here in Malachi, in the so-called Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3:18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahweh and him that serves him not. I'll read that again. In Malachi 3:18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahweh and him that serves him not. That's in Malachi. And then 1 Peter 1:16 in the Newer Testament writings, because it is written, be ye separate, for I am separate. Or in the King James, holy. Be ye separate or pure, for I am separate or pure, the Almighty says to us. And then the definition of discerning is found in Isaiah. It's also found in Leviticus. Actually, it's first mentioned in Genesis. We'll be there in a moment. But let's go to Leviticus 11:43 and see the basis for discerning right and wrong. And it has to do with things that you actually do from day to day in the kitchen. Leviticus 11:43 and Leviticus 11:47. And the Almighty is speaking to us, to all. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. And verse 44, for I am Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall therefore set yourself apart. Or the King James English word sanctify. So therefore, you should set yourselves apart, or be pure. And you shall be separate, for I am separate. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 47, to make a difference, or to discern, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. And then you could read the entire chapter of Leviticus 11 to see what may be eaten and what may not. And it's always safer to go the vegetarian way. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, set yourselves apart, therefore, or sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye separate, for I am Yahweh, your Elohim, or I am Yahweh, your Yah. 20:25 in Leviticus, you shall therefore put difference, or in other words, to make a distinction, put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. Next verse, and you shall be separate unto me. For I, Yahweh, am separate and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. I have separated you from the peoples to be mine. And that That quote is from the Hallelujah Scriptures in Leviticus 20:26. I have separated you from the peoples to be mine. Then where is the first place of mention? It is in Genesis chapter 7. The first place of mention about the unclean animals is in Genesis chapter 7, Genesis 7:1. And Yahweh said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. So that is the actual first place of mention, which I call the FPM, first place of mention about unclean animals. Then the second place of mention was in Leviticus 5, verse 2. So here is Leviticus 5, 2. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. So even though the person was ignorant of the fact that these animals were unclean, and he touched them at a particular time, he was still guilty, and the price had to be paid for that, which is a slaughter offering. So that's in Leviticus chapter 5, and verse 3, Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, and it be hidden from him. When he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. That's a little bit different there than the previous verse. You should also see Hebrews 9 and verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the Mikodesh, or the purest place of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of esteem, shadowing the mercy seat, which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Yahweh. But into the second tabernacle, in other words, went the high priest alone, once each year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, for the ignorance of the people, in other words. The Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit, this signifying that the way into the Mikodesh of all was not yet made manifest, while as yet the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. When is that now? When's the time of Reformation? That's the next verse. But Messiah being come a high priest of good things to come, a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, the Messiah, found there in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Isaiah 53, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the separated place, into the Mikodesh, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Aren't you glad that all of your repented sins in the past have been forgiven? Not carte blanche, not past, present, future sins have been forgiven, but all those sins in the past. And if you're not sinning now, that by definition you're not a sinner if you're not making a practice of disobeying Yahweh's law, of transgressing his Torah. So that was found in Hebrews chapter 9, about 5:12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, milk is only for babes, whether it be an animal or human. So he's unskillful in the word of righteousness. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, those adults, in the faith, that is. They are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Oh, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, it says there in the King James Version. Now that was Hebrews 5. Now about the last place of mention about the to discern between clean and unclean animals. The last place of mention, the LPM, last place would be, prophetically, it would be in Isaiah 65 and 66. That's Isaiah 65. And also in the book of the Revelation. Revelation, and that's the last book in the Scriptures. Revelation 16:13 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs." So there's the type, the frog, that is unclean still in the New Testament and the future there. "Three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." That was 16. And in chapter 18, Revelation 18:2, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." So the unclean and hateful birds that were listed there in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 are found in here in Revelation again, chapter 18. And we pray that Yahweh will enrich your life today by the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He has saved us. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we're saved by grace unto, by faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And then in verse 10 it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Messiah unto good works." And so I pray, and we all pray together, that the Spirit will quicken us, quicken our feeble, weak, fleshly spirits, and get them in tune, you know, fine-tune our spirits, and get us to be closer and more comfortable in Yahweh's presence, to be enjoy His presence, and to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Ezekiel chapter 11 now, talking about the Spirit, and this covenant that He writes in our heart, of course, is written also in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, and chapter 10, verse 16, but he's talking about the new covenant He writes, which includes His Torah. It's all instruction for righteousness' sake, and we're to remember that and review it and relish that and to cogitate upon that or think about that in our hearts, to meditate upon Yahweh's law, says there in Psalm verse 1. Okay, here we are, Ezekiel 11, verse 19, and the Father once again is speaking to us through the prophet Ezekiel, or Yeshayahu. And chapter 11, verse 19, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you," or give them, "an heart of flesh," a heart of flesh, "that they may," so no more stony hearts out there, "that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim." So it's a good idea to walk in His statutes and ordinances, and not just say we have the new spirit, that we're spirit-filled, and that we have this wonderful heart of flesh, but then we ignore the next verse, verse 20 there, in Ezekiel 11. We want to walk in His statutes. What is that? The statutes are written all the way through Scripture there, but specifically in Leviticus to the people, not just a Levite priest, by the way, and to each and every one of us. I prefer the interpretation of we're grafted into the Messiah, into His covenant, and into His kingdom, and into His law, into His righteousness, but into His heart. We're right into the heart of Yahweh. Or, if you will, He's in our hearts, more correctly. So that was Ezekiel 11:19 and 20, then verse 21. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith Yahweh Elohim. So we've just learned a little bit about discernment there in the books that I've read so far, starting out with, it didn't start out with Malachi, but that was one of the main subject matters there, Malachi 3:18. It says, then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Yahweh and him that serves him not. Now, that doesn't mean we're supposed to go around trying to figure out who those people are or who they aren't, but, you know, who walks with Yahweh and who doesn't walk with him necessarily, unless we're considering them for a ministry. We certainly don't want to appoint somebody into the priesthood who is walking far away from Yahweh, obviously, by their actions. Here, Isaiah 65. And that's in the book of Yeshayahu. That's a Hebrew word, or Isaiah 65. We're more familiar with that. I'm sought of them that asked not for me. I found of them that sought me not. He is talking to us. The Eternal is speaking. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificed in gardens and burns incense upon altars in altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments. Lodging in the monuments there, that'd be a thing to talk about sometime. Which eat swine's flesh. Oh, that's the pig, the bacon there, Sunday morning bacon, which eat swine's flesh, or Easter. They eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Now, that's almost impossible to eliminate all abominable things. If you buy from the store, if you eat it out of a can or out of a box or something, there's probably something in there. If it says kosher on there, if there's a U and then a circle around that U, then it probably means that it's been examined and by the proper authorities, and they know that no unclean thing is in there, probably, in that package or box or can. So we don't want the broth of abominable things to be lingering around in our vessels when Yahweh comes back. And if we know better, if we know that those unclean things are not supposed to be in our bodies and our temples, the temple is the temple of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, then, you know, we don't want to be embarrassed, so let's stand pure and separate before Yahweh and abstain from the unclean. Better not to eat any meat at all, some say. And Isaiah 65, to continue, the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but I will recompense, even recompense unto their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith Yahweh, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blaspheme me upon the hills, therefore I will measure their former work into their bosom. See also Revelation 18:2, we did that one, and Mark 5:13. Isaiah 65:8. Thus saith Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so I will do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritance of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks in the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to be down in, for my people that have sought me. Verse 11, but you are they that forsake Yahweh. It says in the King James, Lord. That's incorrect. 7,000 times it's printed incorrectly there. But you are they that forsake Yahweh. It's the YHVH, the name of our Father. You are they that forget Yahweh, that forget my separated mountain, that prepare a table for that troop. Or for that Gad, G-A-D, the common word we use today for God, or fortune, and that's Hebrew root word, 1409, a people that prepare a table for their God, or for their troop, in the King James, and that furnished the drink offering under that number. Therefore I will number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. And then to verse 15, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Yahweh Elohim shall slay thee instead of God. It should be Elohim, or either that or Yah. I didn't look it up, but it's one or the other. It's one of the two. It's either Elohim or Yah, Y-A-H-H. For the Yahweh Elohim shall slay thee and call his servants by another name, that he who blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Elohim of truth. He that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the Elohim of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten. Messiah takes them all away. The troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. For behold, now this here proves, this next verse in 17 proves that this was all prophetic. So we're still in this part of time where the clean are still clean and the unclean are still unclean. And because here it specifically states, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The new heavens, the new earth, that's the millennium to come, or at least after, forever and ever, for time and eternity. He creates new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem. He's going to rejoice not just in some city, but in his people, in you, in the called, the elect, the chosen, those who have been saved by what they call grace or unmerited favor, by trusting in the Messiah, in his shed blood, and the unmerited favor which we did not in any way qualify for, that we are fallen, and that fallen Adamic nature. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. We're kind of talking about the feast here of Shemini Atzeret, the last great day. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not labor in vain. And then 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my separated mountains, saith Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, in the next verse and chapter 66. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have made, saith Yahweh, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's what we are doing here in reading the scriptures, trembling at Yahweh's word, because we have fear of him. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man, he that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. So these are abominable sacrifices that people might be making the right sacrifice, the right physical things, but on the other hand, their motives are way out. They're way out and not pure. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood, he that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. They have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Yes, so even if we do keep the feast days and the Sabbath days, but with a wrong motive, out of some other motive other than to respond out of obedience and out of love, then our offerings are an abomination. You know, that verse we read earlier there in Romans 12, 1, to present your bodies a living offering, pure and acceptable. So we're not offering up animals any longer. We're offering up our time and our life. Present your bodies a living offering, pure and acceptable unto Yahweh, for this is our reasonable service. So then back to Isaiah 66. And how about verse 5? There hear the word of Yahweh, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let Yahweh be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy. But this person, this enemy, doesn't mean anything, because Yahweh is going to appear to our joy, and those people shall be ashamed. They shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city. And then verse 10, Rejoice you with Jerusalem, and be glad with her. All you that love her, rejoice for her with her, all you that mourn for her. Even in churches these days, and the ecumenical, some of those ecumenical and actually world councilor churches, they are teaming up against Jerusalem and against the Jews, and they say, Boycott Jewish products. Now, I'd be afraid to hop on the bandwagon with those people. I don't want to boycott any Jew, unless I know he's deep, 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 and too far lost and gone, and I'd think that there'd be no hope for him. There probably is, but I'm not going to boycott the nation of Israel. That is so scary. I'm not going to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of a church that does that. I'd get out and either, you know, stay at home or some other brethren who are firm believers or the best assembly that I could find in the area. That's where I would go. And that's what we've been doing lately here with a lot of good results and joy in our hearts. Been growing together here in our gathering. And 66 verse 10, rejoice with Jerusalem. And then about the clean and unclean there is found in verse 17. So this is a prophetic chapter, and it's so Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his standard is still the same. And the clean are still clean. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst. Now, that could be a tree in the sanctuary, possibly. Eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse. Or, instead of the mouse, it might be another animal. And the mouse shall be consumed together, saith Yahweh. For I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my esteem, or kavod, in the Hebrew. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations. Praise Yah, isn't that beautiful? Isaiah 66 winds up in the last couple of verses, 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make. Well, I kind of like this old earth in a way. There's a lot of nice things about it, a lot of great features, wonderful, beautiful places to go to, the Colorado River and the Columbia River, and east and west, it's beautiful, but that is nothing. It will pale in comparison to the new heavens and the new earth. It's going to be even better. It will not only be just as great as it is now, but it will be so much better. As the new heavens, the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, that just means the month, from month to month, that we still keep these new moons at the first sighting of the crescent, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. That could be a seventh-day Sabbath, the Saturday day, or it could be a feast day, IDK. That means I don't know. But from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to praise before me, saith Yahweh. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. And that doctrine there about hell also found in Mark chapter 9 in the Newer Testament, Mark 9, verse 43 and 44. There is the ministry, the Berean Call, the BereanCall.org, whom I have recommended. But they've gone ahead and spoken against the Sabbath and the Torah. David James spoke against the Torah and tying the Sabbath, the scriptures, with the Harbinger, a book that came out by Jonathan Kahn. And according to the Berean Call, these teachers have strayed from pure doctrine of scripture. And I don't know whether that is true or not. But further, Mr. James, David James of the Berean Call, mocked and ridiculed those and other leaders, and then also tied that in with Torah and with Sabbath keepers. But my statement is, if any leader misrepresents our Hebrew faith, the HRM, the Hebrew Roots Movement, so-called movement, it's not a movement, really. It's, well, in a way, but more than that, it's a denomination. It's usually a bad word, I guess, but it's a faith, the Hebrew Roots faith, HRF. One cannot use alleged abuses to cast doubt on the entire body of believers or upon Scripture, certainly not, just because one person misrepresents the faith once delivered unto these saints. So whether it be concerning the Sabbath or other teachings, it appears the Berean call is out to destroy it, to destroy the Sabbath day, the feast days, clean and unclean, and the Hebrew Roots faith. And that's a tragedy, because I wanted to continue to recommend them to you, but now at this point, Isaiah 8:20 says that there's no light in them if they reject the Torah. And their condemnation of the Sabbath, and on the other hand, uplifting their Lord's Day, which they believe to be Sunday, the first day of the week, does not align with the Scriptures. For example, about the resurrection of Messiah, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, which Messiah said, "For as Jonas was in the belly of the great fish 3 nights and 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 nights and 3 days. And so he did. Messiah went into the grave, into that tomb, rather, from Aviv 14, when he was impaled at the end of Passover day, Aviv 14, and there he remained in the grave until Aviv 17, 3 nights and 3 days later, which would have been the end of that 17th day. And not addressing a particular day of the week, because Aviv 14 in 1 year might be Wednesday, common day Wednesday, but in another year it could be another day of the week. Does anybody remember the day that their grandfather died on, or their dad, or a real close person died on? No, they remember the date. We write down the dates, but we don't write down the days of the week that people die, or even that are born on. And so Matthew 28, verse 1, from Berry's Greek interlinear, reads, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to grow dusk toward the first day of the week," so that would be at sunset, at the end of the 17th of Aviv, toward the first day of the week, came Mary to the tomb. And then the King James Version reads a little bit different, but it's still accurate. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, we're going to Matthew 28, as well as Luke 23. We'll start out with Luke 23, in chapter 23 of the Evangel of Luke. Messiah said in Luke 23:34, Messiah said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his garments and cast lots. Then skipping to verse 37, saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Messiah, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear Yahweh, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Messiah, "Master, remember not when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me, rather, when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Messiah said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise." And did Messiah go right to paradise that moment or that day? No, certainly not. He went to the tomb. He didn't go to paradise. He went to the grave or the tomb. So, "Verily I say unto thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, or 3 p.m., our time, and there was a darkness over all the earth over the, wait a minute, I think I said that wrong. The sixth hour would have been noon. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour, or 3 p.m. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Messiah had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the spirit. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he magnified Yahweh. He praised Yahweh, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And we steer away from that glorify word there, if you look it up on our website. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which are done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, and a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of Yahweh. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Messiah, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that man was, and that day was the preparation day of the high day, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and behold the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested that Sabbath day, or high day, according to the commandment. Where is that commandment? It's found about the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Leviticus chapter 23. They rested according to the commandment. And then continuing for a little bit here in Luke 24, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices, so this would be on the 18th of Aviv now, written here in Luke 24. Now upon the first of the week, very early in the morning, or very early, be translated, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Master Messiah. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be impaled, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They returned from the sepulchre and told all those things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Johanna, and Miriam, the mother of James, or Yaakov, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then rose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, stooping down. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And we remember this time, especially at Passover. Behold, two of them went that way to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Messiah himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him, and he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that you have with one another, as you walk and are sad? What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Well, we don't want to be sad now because Messiah is risen from the grave, and we know this by the scripture, it's told us. In Matthew 28, in the King James, because I promised I was going to read that, in Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, or actually grow dusk, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And was it the Sabbath or Sunday? Well, it was the end of the Sabbath as it began to grow into the next day at sunset. There is what that timing is. And then verse 6, he is not here. So Messiah is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see this place where the Master lay. Oh, isn't that something there? So the truth of the resurrection is that Messiah died on the 14th of Aviv and rose on the 17th of Aviv. We see about the Sabbath day that in Acts chapter 13, 42, the Sabbath is still being kept in the year 60 AD approximately. Acts 13, 42, Acts 16, and Acts 17, and myriads of other scriptures. Many scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4 is another one that proves the Sabbath. There therefore remains a keeping of the Sabbath, or Sabbatismos, to the people of Yahweh. And as I look that up again, I read that quite frequently here. And he limits, Hebrews 4, 7, he limits or specified a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Messiah had given them rest, now to some, we will not have rest. We will not have any rest, and it'll be like a bad hair Monday every day of the week. But if Messiah had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? Someone along the line, Paul or somebody, would have spoken of another day there in Acts 13, but he never did. In verse 9, there therefore remains a Sabbatismos, or a rest, in English, a rest to the people of Yahweh. Oh, I don't want to be resting all the time, but I do want to be getting together and convoking with other people, convocating, getting together and having a spirit-filled fellowship with others, having a time of truth and of sincerity in Yahweh's word. So we don't want to condemn anybody here, but we do hope that others will start to make a distinction between truth and error. What is right and what is wrong? We need to have a discernment ministry in our lives. So we need to pray for that, for not only for the Berean Call people, for Tom McMahon, David James, and his friends, and all the congregation there. I met some really nice folks there from Missouri, and they had really nice families, really big families there. Pray for the discernment ministry, and that they will search the scriptures daily to see if it is so. So we search the scriptures like the Bereans did to see if whether or not things are so. They searched the scriptures. What scriptures were prevalent at that time? That's right. The Torah, the Old Testament, yes, the Songs, and Book of Solomon, the Proverbs, all that, Mishlei. And that we also pray that they will continue to warn about legitimate errors from their parachurch organization. We need to be preaching to the choir, because the choir is forgetful. We hear about the choir sometimes, things we can't repeat. But we need to, sorry about that, gang, but we really do need to remember Yahweh's law from time to time. Maybe once a week would be a good suggestion there. And be living in Yahweh's nation, not in man's nation. We believe of that Yahweh has created a wonderful, easy plan for us if we'll just follow what he has asked us to do. His honey-do list, found there in Exodus chapters 20 through 23. The law of Yahweh has more purpose than to simply show us that we need to be redeemed, that we need him as our Savior. The law, the Torah, is the standard that Messiah and his father Yahweh gives to us to live by and to show our love. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It also defines sin in 1 John chapter 3, that sin is the transgression of the Torah. But on the other hand, and so that's negative sense, but on the other hand, in 1 John 5, that love is keeping his honey-do list. And even Abraham did that back in Genesis chapter 26, I think it's verse 5, that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge. He obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments. What commandments? In Genesis, the law of Moses wasn't given, was it? Well, of course it was. It was an eternal law from eternity past and future. He kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Genesis 1 gives us the true Sabbath day there, that the day of rest is given. But the title of this was, What is a Discernment Ministry? But I will also read that in Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work which he had made. And he just rested on the seventh day. That's all he did. Right? Yeah, you caught me at that one. No, he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and that Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, or made it pure, or made it separate, made it pure. And he rested from all his work which Yahweh created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh Elohim made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to fill the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Ruach, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. See also Job 27:3. May Yahweh bless you today, and write his laws, commandments, and love for your neighbor, and for most of all for Yahweh, first and foremost in priority. If there's any conflict between the neighbor and between serving Yahweh, it's going to have to be Yahweh first. And then, of course, he'll want us to serve our neighbor. But certain situations where emergencies come up, then there's the exception, isn't there? We want to extend our love and our finances, or whatever we might have, resources available to help people out. And sometimes that falls on certain days when we have know that that's been dedicated to Yahweh, but that would be a special offering to Yahweh to help somebody in an extreme emergency. You know, an oxen in the ditch is not a commandment. It's not a carte blanche, just go out and, you know, build a barn or something, or cut some wood for the grandmother next door, for the widow next door, because we might be able to do that on another day, right? So the oxen in the ditch is not a carte blanche to just do our own pleasure, to do whatever our heart, our evil hearts, who are still not fully converted, to do. No. In fact, that we should make an appointment to take care of our neighbor and take care of these problems, and maybe even before the problem comes up. Go out and cut some wood today. Anyway, Yahweh's law is perfect, and he is growing a great, wonderful Hebrew, not only Hebrew people, but a great congregation out there. What am I trying to say? A great men and women and brethren and sistren out there to love him and to love one another. Yes, we're all in one accord, and we will be even more in unity as Yahweh becomes closer to us. As we get closer to him, he will get closer to us. Okay? So thank you for listening today to this discernment ministry. What is discernment? What is a warning ministry broadcast? And I'd want to give you my contact information here. It is based on the website Yahweh Yahweh. So it's StephanYah at YahwehYahweh.name. That's Stephan Yah, spelled with a TSEPHANYAH at YahwehYahweh.name. And if you're just driving along somewhere and listening to this podcast, then don't pull over or anything, because someday you'll be able to just click on that website and there'll be a contact button there. And just when you get a chance, click on that and let me know what you think, okay? And we're not a ministry that goes about sending money around the world to people that we've never met, that unsolicited emails that come and asking for help for some seemingly worthy cause. We are not able to discern whether or not that is a worthy cause or not. And we don't have that much resource anyway, that many finances to be sending around. So please don't be offended if we do not send cash or checks or money orders or something to unsolicited emails that you might send there from somewhere around the world. But I do appreciate your faithfulness to listen to us today. And every day, click on another web, another file. You might be able to have something helpful there for you. And if not, well, you don't need us. All you need is the scriptures today. Okay, and every day, live by the word. Shalom.